Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in.
Have you ever been in a maze before? Has anyone ever been in a maze before? If the only maze you've been in is that little one in Sussex next to the Frenchies, where you can kind of like stand on your tippy toes and see over it, it still counts, okay? That counts. Actually, for my college student friends here this morning, we used to time trial that on Friday nights and see how fast we could run through it, because that was all we could find for fun on a Friday night. But the coolest maze I've ever been in was in this place in Nova Scotia where my family owned a hunting camp. And it was an island, bunch of people lived here. It was actually a big mink farming place back in the day. Tons of mink farms all over the place when that was in high demand. But the island was owned by this dude named Martin Madrazo. True name, Martin Madrazo was his name. I've never seen the guy before, so maybe that wasn't his name. But he was a big timer in the States, and he would come to this little tiny island, and it was only an island during high tide, a true maritime island. And he owned a large portion of the island, and he had this massive house. His house was bigger than anything I had ever been in. And one time I had the opportunity as a small kid to visit his property and go around and kind of get the gists of it. And this is literally what was in the dude's backyard. And remember, this is just his cottage. This was in his backyard, was a maze. And until I actually looked this up on Google Satellite just this week, I thought it was triple the size and a lot more complex. But I remember going through as a kid by myself, and as you kind of start on the journey, like, I remember instantly getting lost. I remember instantly getting kind of turned around and not really understanding where I was, and it was really confusing, and it was all these different things. I don't even know if I ever made it out of it, honestly, but it just went back the way I started. But to me, like, this was probably the hardest thing I ever could have done when I was this age. And even if you've never been in a maze, you understand what that's like, whether you've seen it or you can kind of just get the picture. But we all have different kind of mazes in our life. Sometimes they're really confusing and they're really easy to get lost, hard to navigate, but especially on your own. And you see, and I've done this in my own life too, sometimes we take our relationship with God and we treat it like a maze. We actually, when we get into it and we start going down our path of having a relationship with God, the second there's a hardship or something happens, we instantly say, I'm lost, I give up, I need help. Or we actually get angry or you're confused and you're looking for someone to blame. It's a lot of my story. I blamed God a lot in my life when I probably should have just blamed myself. So what if I told you today that there's an actual plan for your life? Where my planner's at? There's an actual plan for your life. My wife's a planner. She was talking summer vacation plans the other day, and I said, actually, having no plans is a vacation. What is this? But why am I, if I told you there's a plan for your life and it's perfectly designed? All it took was trust. All it took was trust. As we go through the end of Romans today, Romans 28 to 39, we're going to look at the love of God and how it actually affects our life. And if you're, and we're going to be looking at this. This is kind of the breakdown, and I really believe this. As we grasp the way God loves us, it changes how we love ourselves, our family, and our relationships, and it changes how we love God. As we understand how God loves us, it changes these three areas of our life. And I'll say this to you this morning. I actually really believe that every single person struggles with one thing, at least one of these things. For me in my life, and we'll get to that maybe later on, I had the biggest struggle in my life, my Christian walk, is loving myself the way God sees me or other people see me. But you know, as I've discovered how much God loves me, and it's bigger than just that statement, it actually changes my own perspective of myself. And so in your Bible, you'll see it probably titled this, at least in the NIV, and if you're taking notes, here's the title right off the top, is Nothing Can Separate You From God's Love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And no matter what you're coming in with this morning, I know we're all at different areas of life and stages. And we all kind of take love in a different way. Some of us are resistant. Some of us are like, oh, God loves me. That's amazing. Some of us have some situations or baggage from our childhood or young adulthood growing up that allows us to view love differently. But my ask is for today is just for the next 30 minutes is that we can understand or we can try to put aside our personal preferences on love and try to understand the way God loves us. Sound good? Let's do it. Okay, Romans 8, if you have your Bible, Romans 8, 28 to 30. We're going to break it down piece by piece. If I read scripture in one big chunk, I get lost quickly. It's how my brain works. So I like to go piece by piece. So I'm going to read it to you. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bible. The Apostle Paul says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What in the world does that mean? Well, if you remember last week, if you were here, if you weren't here, your job this afternoon is to go watch Pastor AJ's sermon. I was actually at our St. Stephen campus, and I was almost on the ground, actually, of just like the Spirit of God and what he was talking about. But he ended with this. He talked about waiting, but he talked about how the Holy Spirit is a foretaste of glory. And Paul picks, this is like just one verse ago, Paul picks up this section and he's saying, hey, this is a foretaste of glory and God loves you so much that he'll never separate it. He loves you so much. So our first point today is this, God's love had a plan for us. God's love has a plan for us. You can say had, you can say has, either way, I actually really believe it works. Just think about this, for example. Again, if you're the planning crew, like my wife, you understand this, and maybe you like this a little bit more than somebody like me who hates planning. But it's this, that God's love is not random or reactionary. It has a plan. Do you know God's original plan for the world was for us to live with him? The Garden of Eden, we're actually, the ideal plan that God created was for us to live with God face to face, to be able to commune, to be able to walk our life out with the living God. But you know, obviously because of sin, we made a mistake and there's a separation for now, but it's like AJ said last week, this life is just a little window. If this life is it, then well, what are we doing? But this life is just a little tiny part, and we are to get on board with the bigger plan that God has for our life. Maybe you've never realized it before, but God actually has a plan for your life. And I really believe that. And look at my life, for example, if you don't believe me. Right now, I serve as a student ministries pastor. If you would have told me that actually just 2 years ago, that I'd be working here and being on the stage, I would have called you nuts. And I was a Bible college student. Like, I was literally studying to actually do this, but I was so resistant to the call of God on my life because of different, like, lies and different things I believed and kind of the view I had of myself. But you see, here I am today, a kid from a small fishing town who didn't think he would ever be a preacher, especially, preaching about God's love to you. And if you see, it's actually in that what we talked about here in the end of Romans 8, what we just read here this morning, but it's this, like God actually says, he's talking about all the things he's going to do, but these are God's promises. He goes, those he called, it says at the end of 28. And he also says, he goes on, and those he justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. God isn't just in the business of saying good luck. God is in the business of having a plan for your life. What does justification mean? We see that here a lot. Justification means that no accusation can stand against believers because God himself has declared them righteous through Christ's sacrifice. You are fully forgiven. One thing I was told by a mentor years ago, it does matter a lot how I view myself, but at the end of the day, God views me even higher. And so I need to get on board with that. And so while God might have a plan for your life, and he does, and I believe that each one of you actually have like spiritual gifts that God has given you to do the work of his body and do the things that he has called you to. I get to see a couple head nods. A couple of us are on board with it this morning, but because it's so easy to just remain a viewer. For years, I went to church in and out, and it was, oh, that was a good service. Man, but life just looked the same. And it wasn't until I started leaning into, God, what is this plan you have for my life? I believe you called me to go to Bible college. I believe you called me to do that. I was still very resistant, and I needed a good heavenly smack from a few people in my life a few times. But at the end of the day, it was all for God's plan. And we're going to get to some of the trials and those things here in just a second. But you see, the thing that you can walk out if you're saying, God has a plan for my life, I'm doing pretty good. You know, it doesn't actually matter what I do because God has a plan for my life. No, that's the wrong way to take it. If you actually see in verse 28, if we go back up to it, I'll read it again. Paul says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So you're called, but that doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. It doesn't mean everything is going to be good. Even Pastor Brent, when he was hosting, kind of touched on this just a little bit. But God is using everything, even hardships, for his ultimate good. Can anyone testify to that this morning? I look at everything that I have ever been through in my life, and I can actually now look back to saying, God, wow, you were in that. Oh, I learned that from that situation. You know, it's a true story, and trust me, I don't say this to promote myself or anything, but I realized by the time I was graduated high school, I had been to more funerals than people in their 50s and 60s. And I'm from a small town, and I remember when drugs became rampant, and I remember burying a lot of my best friends, a lot of them who didn't know God. But I'll tell you this, the last thing I wanted to hear in that moment was, God has a plan for your life. He's going to use this. Man, if somebody would have told me that, I might have, oh, I don't know what I would have done. And so if you're going through something this morning, don't hear me saying that. Don't hear me saying, it's okay, God's going to work it all out. I do believe that. But it's actually in the reflection that I have figured that out. I have said, okay, God, what do you want to teach me from this? God, what do you want to do in my life because of this? And it's all through those hardships, and God doesn't cause the hardships, but he uses them for his good. He uses those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You are called according to his purpose today, church. You are called to according to his purpose. God had a plan for your life when he created you. When God created the creator of heaven and earth, when he was creating the earth, he had you in mind. He thought of you. Man, I know I've been sitting on this for a few weeks, so I've had more time to think about it than you. But man, doesn't that just blow your mind? You can't even begin to understand that God's love, like we can't even understand that God's love has always been active for us. It's why he sent his son Jesus. God knew before Adam and Eve even made a mistake that that was going to be the plan, that it was going to be something he had to do, sacrifice his only begotten son. If you're a parent in the room, you'll understand this, but think about the love you've had for your child since the very start. A lot of parents in the room, I know there's actually even some first-time parents with us this morning, but parents in the room, you understand the love you've had for your child. Like, think about actually that pure joy you got when they were born. Even if there were fears around it, there was a level of love from the very start. Even for the dads in the room, think about that drive home. That was probably the slowest and last time you ever drove that slow, right? But it's all out of love. Everything had to be perfect. The buckle had to be there. The 10 and 12, 10 and 2, whatever it is. Like, you were there. You clenched the whole way home. Because you had so much love for this child of yours. So much love. The same idea of love is what God has for us. That same idea of love, but it's exponentially greater than anything you can ever fathom. And like, it's just larger and greater than we can comprehend. And like I said, like when God was creating the heavens and the earth, like when you read Genesis tonight when you go to bed or this afternoon, when the earth is formless and empty, I really believe that you were on God's mind then. Wow, man. God's love is so big. It's so great. He set up the world for us to experience his love. That's the whole idea of creation. The world, so people say, why do bad things happen? Because this is not God's ideal plan. We are supposed to live with him, to walk with him, to experience this love, like to see God face to face. You read about the few people in the Bible that have seen God, like that have had those mountaintop moments with God. They can't even see his glory or they'll be killed. What? But you and I were supposed to live there with him, and that was going to be the ideal reality? God's love is big. It is great. And God's love had a plan for us. God's love has a plan for you. And I'm going to be going over all the points today because they're all so similar, but it's the same thing. But the reason he had a plan was this. The reason God had a plan was this, is that God's love is pro us. God's love is pro us. God's love is pro you. Or say it this way, God's love is for you. We're going to break down this section of scripture, but I'm going to read it all to you, and then we're going to go verse by verse. Verse 31, the Apostle Paul continues to say this. What then shall we say in response to these things, those promises we just talked about? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. That's a good one. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. We'll get to that, and I'm going to try to hold myself together before we get there. But God, Christ Jesus, is interceding for you. If you've never heard the word interceding before, it is like God is for you. He is contending for you. But we'll get there one step at a time. First one, verse 31 says this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, we talked about how God's love had a plan, and I'm a firm believer in that, and we're talking about now how God's love is for you, and it's because of this. It's if God is for us, who can be against us? Whose side are you on today? Whose side are you on today? God is for you. And again, like this is one of those conversations that you have to go home and you have to think about. The preacher's giving you homework tonight. Come on. Like, actually, since I've graduated high school, I hate the thought of doing homework again, but I'm enjoying this kind of homework. Just try to think about, like, God, you love me so much. Man, you're blowing me away. You're blowing me away. Through his love, there is hope. There is a future. There are plans to prosper. If you are dealing with something today, and I know some of you are, I've had the journey of just walking with a small select of this congregation through different things. I've been there for the funerals. I've been there for some of the graveside burials of real grief and real loss and real tension. But I want to tell you today that there is love, that God has hope for you. He has plans to prosper. God is not neutral or like submissive. He is actively for you, and we're going to get to that at the end, but Jesus is contending for you. And it's actually, it's something if you're realizing today, like, oh, I believe that. No, it's like, do you believe that? God is for you. He is not against you. He is against Satan and the principalities of this world, the things that want to lie to you, get you to mess up, get you to sin, get you to like cheat on your spouse. Like, he's against those things, but he's not against the person who is you. You see, we actually have to accept that. We have to, it's a choice you have to make to get on board with that. And what I mean by that is there's God's will and then there's our flesh. Then there's the desires that you and I want to do. And it's against our natural sinful flesh to accept what God wants. You have to actively choose that. You have to say, God, I'm actually going to choose your will today. God, thank you for creating me today. I'm going to choose your path, your will, your obedience, your guidance, because it naturally doesn't come naturally to me. And I know some of us, like, it's a wide spectrum of people this morning. We all kind of accept that in different ways, but it's true. You have, at some point in your life, you have to say, God, I don't feel it, but I believe it. God, I know this isn't true. God, I know this is true, even though I don't believe it right now. It's called faith. That's the whole part of faith. It's an action. You have to do it even though you don't feel it. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe God's for you, read the next verse, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? It says it clearly right there. He gave up his own son. I asked about, for those of you that are parents, that's something you can't even comprehend. Giving up your own child for the sake of the world? Isn't that the exact opposite of what culture teaches us? Culture would say things, no, keep it all for yourself. Don't let anybody else have it. But the Father, the one who loves you so much, opens his arms and he says, no, it's actually all for you. Everything is for you, even my own son. Have you ever felt not worthy or not valuable? Sometimes we think we have to fend for ourselves because of our view of ourselves. That's a good line. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes we think we have to fend for ourselves because of our view of ourselves. That's my story. I've been there. When I had that first slide talking about one of the things we struggled with, I've struggled with the view of myself. Not as like an image thing, but as of, I'm not worthy enough to do this. I know the sin in my life. You know the sin that you've never told anybody else. Why, and I was even thinking that this morning. I'm even fighting that this morning. I'm like, man, if I started believing the lies when I woke up. Man, if Pastor Brent knew all my sins, he'd never let me preach. But then it's like, there's that instant, like, no, like God says, God is for me. He is interceding for me. He's interceding for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? And that's the kind of thing you have to believe. Sometimes it's writing it down. When I was in college at my desk, if you ever were in my room, you would see dozens of sticky notes of just verses of belief and faith. Because there were so many times I didn't naturally choose that in my mind. So I'd have to sit down at my desk and I read every single one, every single day. And it sounds a little extreme, but it's what I had to do to get that constant reminder in my mind that God loves me, he's for me, that's not gonna change. I can choose God's will. It doesn't have to be a sob story for me all the time. Like, I can choose God's presence in my life. You can choose that presence this morning. And you know, a lot of the time, and like I said, I've been to Bible school, this is the number one thing that I've noticed that's been a problem for people. I even notice it with some students I walk with today. But it's when the going gets tough, and it's a stifling point for many Christians, when the going gets tough, a lot of us fall away, they stumble. We use terms like deconstruction, which is even the proper use of deconstruction. Like, it's not what it means necessarily. Like, when the going gets tough, so many people choose to walk away and run away because they've missed the whole true meaning of grace. While the true meaning of grace is Jesus sent his son to die for you because he loves you, if you've been a Christian for a number of years or any amount of time, and you might have been able to understand this, we don't even deserve grace in the first place. We don't deserve it. We made a mistake. No one teaches a baby to sin. They just learn how to lie. Like, it's no parenting tactic to say, hey, when you're 5 years old, we'll take you for your first batch of lies. No, like, we don't teach that. We don't teach that. That's naturally, that's sin in our life. We actually don't deserve grace. So we are to be thankful for God even making a way for us. We're not worthy of it in a first place. And while that sounds condemning, while that sounds like harsh, I think the seasoned Christians in the room can actually understand. When you take that kind of seat in your approach to grace, in your approach to God, that changes everything. It puts us in proper view of who God is. Next one. We're getting through this. 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. When you're feeling condemned and there's sin in your life, God is saying he is on your side. He wants the best things for you. No accusation from Satan can stand against those in Christ Jesus. And the power of Christ lives in those who call on his name. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in the modern Christian, the Christian today. If you don't believe that, read Acts 4, 5, 6. Read the book of Acts, is what I'm trying to say. The power of Christ lives in those who call on his name. There is no one that can bring charge against you. It is God who justifies. It is God who makes you holy. It is God who you work through your relationship. Next one, 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Christ himself is at the right hand of God. Come on, that's my favorite verse in Scripture. Jesus, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. Christ himself is there for you. No one, but Christ, if there's no one in your life contending for you, if you don't have a support system, if you don't have friends or family that love you or love you enough, you feel, it's okay, because Jesus is the Christ, and he is interceding for you. And if that's the hope you need this morning, then it's right there at the end of Romans. Even when you aren't contending for yourself, Christ is contending for you. Even when you don't have, like, and I've been there, I've laid in bed, and I was like, God, I can't even get up today. And he said, it's okay, I'm contending for you today. I want to be there with you. He's in those moments. Think of it this way. You're on trial at a courtroom. I've never actually been in a courtroom, but I've watched a lot of TV, so I can kind of paint this picture. You're on trial in a courtroom. Satan is the accuser, listing all of your sins. And he's even saying all the ones you've kept hidden and never told anybody. But Jesus is your lawyer, your advocate, and he's standing off to the side, and he stands and he says, I've already paid the price. The price has been paid. And the judge who's there in the middle, the judge is God in this situation, in this illustration, and he declares, you are not guilty because of Christ. This guy has paid the price. These accusations do not matter. They're real, but they don't matter because Christ is for you. He is interceding before you. He's taken the place. No accusation can stand against you. If you accept his grace, you are free and you have freedom. Like we said, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but there's a promise there this morning. God's love has a plan for you. God's love is for you. And then this one, God's love is permanent. God's love is permanent. And if we keep going on in Romans, it says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? That doesn't really affect all of us because we live in Quispamsis or West St. John or online New Brunswick. we're like, well, I've never really had a lot of famine in my life. But we do have brothers and sisters from all over the world who attend this church who have. But Paul is writing this from his experience. Paul has experienced each one of these things. And he says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. What does it say? More than conquerors through him who loved us. He lists all these things he's been through, but he declares that none of these things can separate you from Christ's love. And you think about how it doesn't matter on your situation what you're in. You can still praise the Lord. I've been thinking a lot about Paul and Silas. I think it's Silas. They're in prison together. And they say, well, we're in prison, we may as well start singing. And trust me, I'm not going to sing. I'm not a good singer. But they just start singing anyways. And it doesn't just make them feel good or it makes it happy. The walls come down and there's an earthquake in the middle of the prison. Like, that is the kind of power of love of God that you have in your life and that you can do despite any hardship, the worst of worst, the deaths, the things of this world. You can have that choice to say, I'm going to praise God anyways. Pastor AJ did a phenomenal job at teaching us that during our Time for War series about how worship is warfare. That's what this is about. You can choose to praise God. God's love is permanent. You know, we see suffering as a sign that God has abandoned us. We see these bad things in the world and we're thinking, God, like how, like, well, it's a trap to think that God has abandoned you. But it's actually this, and my youth pastor told me this growing up. He's like, Josh, it's actually the opposite. God's actually grieving with you. God's actually grieving with you. It's his heart breaks when his kids' hearts break. When you're going through something, God of the universe, who loves you so much, he's feeling that too. He's there with you. Paul is saying that even in suffering, even actually probably even more in suffering, I would say, he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. You're not just able to conquer the situation. You're actually even more than that. You're able to conquer it. You're able to move on from it. You're able to not forget about it, but you're able to hold that with you. You're able to do so much more things. You are more than conquerors. Your circumstance does not dictate God's love. I'll say that again. Your circumstance right now does not dictate God's love. His love remains constant. God is constant. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. God doesn't change. There's just always a ever more like flowing amount of love. There's nothing you can do. God is as close to you as the air that you breathe. That's one thing I say to our students all the time. God is as close to you as the air that you breathe. And with that, like, I have a hard time when I meet people and they're like, God doesn't love me. What do you mean? Like, and I've been there. I've actually been the one to say, God, I believe you want to fix everybody else's problems in life except for mine. Why? That doesn't even make sense the more I think about it now. Like, if you think about it in one sense, it's actually a little naive to think that. God loves all of his children equally. He loves all of us so much. And that's why I'm harping at this drum and I'm just hitting it. I just said it in three different ways, but it's all the same thing. That nothing can separate you from God's love. There is nothing you can do. You can go out and do something today. I pray that you don't. But you can go out and do something that is horrid in the world's eyes. But you know, at the end of the day, God doesn't want you to do that. But he loves you because he hates the sin. He hates that very thing that has caused you to get there. And it doesn't have to be your life story. Wherever you've been up until this point, it does, like, if it's good, that's fantastic. Keep going. But if it's actually the opposite and you've had a really rough life, I get that. Like I say that I had a great home life. I had a mother who loves me very much. But you know, I grew up without a father figure in my life. And I could have held that as a crutch. I know I could have. I could have said, well, the reason I am what I am is because of my home life and I never had a male figure. But you know, actually, God made a choice and God loves me so much and he loves you so much that he said, that's not going to be this guy's story. That's not going to be my son's story. And I actually, if you wanted to test my thing, to test my knowledge, I could list at least 50 men on the spot, at least 50 guys on the spot that have all had a positive, godly male influence on my life. Why? Because I believe God told them to. Since the time I was a little kid to the man I am now and the people I have around my life today, God loves you so much that he wants to set you up to succeed. He has plans for you to prosper. Nothing can separate you from God's love today. You can leave this building no matter how you're going to pick up things, you're going to pick up that phone. I want you to remember this, that nothing can separate you from God's love. It is active and it is present today. The end of Romans 8, not the end of the book, but the end of this chapter, Paul goes on to say this. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where how high you will go, maybe in the business world or the sector, or how low you'll go with death and bankruptcy and all these different things. God is there. You know, I had a pretty cool experience, and I think you guys heard about it last week. I was on the team that went to Honduras on a missions trip. And, you know, like, that was a wake, and I've been there before. I love that country. And that was one of those instances in my life where I'm like, man, God loves everybody. As we were on the streets ministering and providing food to people that have nothing, like I'm just trying to pray for a guy while he's sniffing glue. Like, that's real. Like, that's authentic. That's the world as we know it in so many places. And I believe things like that are even in our backyard here. It's hard to drive into the city and not see those things, right? But even at the lowest, even like that, God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son. He loves you so much that he created this whole world for you to worship him, for you to experience him. And so this is the call today. As we understand, as we grasp the way God loves us, I think it hits those big three areas in our life. So I'm asking you today, and I think one of these will hit each one of us in a different way. Or maybe if you're here today saying, Pastor Josh, I knew everything you said today. Fantastic. I'm actually praying today that then you take this and you go out to somebody else and you teach them this. Because you are the church. You are the pastors. Some of us just get paid to do it. But you are just as much a pastor. And so this is what I want to say. There's a place for you today to embrace that God's love had a plan. Maybe some of you have a hard time trusting that God's going to work it out. I want you to embrace that this morning. The second one is rest in that God's love is for you. Just rest in that. Rest. You can like put your head on your pillow tonight and say, God, you love me. Thank you. Thank you that you love me. And I need you to trust this morning that God's love is permanent. That God's love is permanent. It's not going to change tomorrow. It's not going to change when you make a mistake. God is not an angry father or a drill sergeant. He is actually a loving father who looks at his children with open arms and says, yes, I love you no matter what. God has big plans for your life no matter what stage you're at. And I know it's hard for some of us to experience, but I was in my hometown in Nova Scotia last week, and I walked into the youth group that I got saved at. I was there to visit everybody, and I walked in, and there was his name's Armand, French fella, and he's like 73, maybe? Sorry if that's wrong. And here he was playing ping pong with a dozen middle schoolers. And I said, Armand, I've never seen you here before. And he said, the Lord has given me this as the next step of my life. And I said, wow. I said, God's love has a plan for your life. And it's forever changing, but it's perfect and it's good. And to say all that, I know a lot of us still struggle with this. And that's why I'd love to share this photo and this story with you today as we close. This is a puzzle my wife did over spring break. I don't know what's with puzzles, but there's hundreds in my house now. But if you kind of look at this photo, it's beautiful. It's boats, it's water, it's some land, it's a nice house. Honestly, if I'd retire, I'd retire right here, probably. And years ago, when I was going through a very significant loss in my life, and I had no idea, like I was so mad at God because I blamed him for something he didn't cause, I remember my youth pastor, he sat me down in his office, and he had a puzzle box, and he said, Josh, he goes, our life, the life God has for you is like a puzzle. It's already completed. It's there. God can see it. God has this completed puzzle on his heart and on his mind before you. But what he does, he doesn't give you this whole picture. If God would have gave me the whole picture of my life and I'm only in my 20s, I probably would have said, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. I'm not called for that. And it would have deterred me from ever even pursuing the steps that I did, right? That's why God doesn't give us this whole picture, but what he gives us is a piece. And if you know me, I'm really big into illustrations and tangible takeaways. If you actually go look at my desk, I have all these random things that make no sense to any of you. But like for one thing, one of them is a piece of concrete from a sermon a Pastor Adam did like 3 years ago. And I keep that every day to remind myself of what that meant for that message at that time. And I'm a big believer in carrying different things around for me. So actually for the last few weeks, not every day, but I try, I've had this puzzle piece in my pocket. And for me, what it reminds me of is that God has a plan for my life. And I don't know the whole picture, But as I choose to trust him, as I choose to honor him and be obedient to him, he gives me another piece. And eventually I started to put it together. And over these few years, I've started to get a little picture of the puzzle. Like, I'm a pastor now, I'm married, all these different things, right? But what God actually wants you to do today, he wants you to trust that his plan is good. He wants you to trust that he loves you. He wants you to trust that he is working all things out for those who call according to his purpose, and that he is interceding at the right hand for you. And so today on your way out, I'm gonna pray for you in just a second. But on your way out today, you're gonna have a choice. There's gonna be some ushers at the back of the room. You can take a puzzle piece home. And if you lose it in a couple weeks, that's okay. But you can just kind of keep this in your pocket. And you can say, every time you kind of feel for it, jiggle for your keys or something like that, it's a good reminder that God loves me. God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I pray, and so we're going to pray as you leave this place today that you just experience God's love in a whole new way, and that whatever situation or challenge or hardship you're facing, that when you walk out this door, that you can actually substitute it for God's love. That, you know, through a little cardboard piece that if you get wet, it will be ruined. But you can just trust today that God's love is for you, and nothing you can do can separate you from the love of God. Let me pray for you. God, we come to you this morning with humble hearts and open hands. God, and we actually just ask you in your spirit, can you just remind us today, God, of how much you love us? That the creator of heaven and earth, God, that you are for us. And if you are for us, who can be against us? So God, right now in this moment, God, I believe this is going to be today can be a new day for somebody. Our prayer teams will be here too, God. And if someone needs to pray these things through or just have these conversations today, God, I just pray that they will. I pray that for the righteousness for my friends here today to do so. And so God, I just pray that you remind us, even through a tiny little puzzle piece, God, that you just remind us that your love is so bigger and so much more than we'll ever be able to understand, God. So thank you that you love your children. Thank you that you love your house today, God. And so we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.